Ed asked me when he was getting ready for getting this program together whether I wanted to make a speech or whether I wanted to introduce one of the speakers. And I said, no, I don't need to make a speech. There are plenty of great speakers here, much better than I. But what I really wanted to do was introduce Ellen Bravo, who's right here, because Ellen Bravo is one of my heroes. She's been an incredible activist for decades. She founded the chapter in Milwaukee of the group 9 to 5, the working women's group. She served as the national director of that group for many years. A lot of you know the group 9 to 5. Some of you may have seen that old movie with Lily Tomlin and Dolly Parton and Jane Fonda. I'm not going to hum a few bars, but you know what I'm talking about. Ellen is now doing a related work with a group called Family Values at Work. She's trying to get paid sick leave for everybody. It's amazing. In the year 2011, we're still fighting for paid sick leave in this country. But that's what she's doing. She did it successfully down in Milwaukee before Walker and his gang crushed it. And she's had some success, and this campaign has had success in the state of Connecticut recently, in the city of Seattle recently. So this is a very tangible, winnable demand, paid sick leave for all. And she's really been the champion of that. She's also an author. She's written many articles, and she's written some books. One of her books is called Taking on the Big Boys, which she's made a career of, and she does a great job at doing that. She's also been with us in this fight here in Madison, this fight here for what Wisconsin really stands for. I think before almost anyone, after the election of Walker, realized that, you know, this isn't your house and garden variety Republican. This is something a little more grave than that. And he called a group of several dozen people together, and Ellen was one of them. And I was in the group, and I would, groups like that, you know, the conversation goes round and round, goes in about 7-8 different directions. And every time when it got to Ellen's turn to speak, she would just reduce it to the essential question she could see through and cut through all the bull crap and get us on point. So that's a tremendous skill anyway. I want to introduce to you Ellen Bravo, one of my heroes and inspiration to everyone who's ever met her or worked with her, at least those who are on our side.
It's so great to be here. I have to tell you, for those of us who speak outside of Wisconsin, this is what happens. You go to Maine or New York or DC or Denver, wherever, all you have to do is say, hi, I'm so-and-so, I'm from Wisconsin, and everybody applauds. They just go nuts. And I hope you know that they're applauding you. They're applauding every one of you and all the work that was done. You've been such an inspiration. I'm so proud to be part of this movement. I value every one of you. And because of that, I want to ask your opinion on a few things, okay? So to start with, I want to ask you for a word association. You know how this goes. Like, for example, if I were to say, I say Walker, you say... Okay, so you get how this goes. In this one, I want an adjective. I want you just to shout out an adjective you think of when I say working woman. How would you describe working women? Just shout out your answers. Okay, I think I heard beautiful, strong, fierce. Someone surely said exhausted. And I'm sure I heard pissed off. So I want to talk about why working women are so pissed off. Who should we be angry at, and what are we going to do about it? And I was thinking about this friend of mine. She called me up, and she was really angry at her job, her family, but she was also scared because she thought she had a brain tumor because she had one of those headaches that wouldn't go away, really bad, couldn't sleep. She said, I'm getting an emergency appointment. She calls the doctor, describes the symptoms. The doctor said, okay. She said, tell me a little about your life. Like, how's your job? Oh, my job, the woman said. My boss is always demeaning me. I never get out of there on time. They always have other stuff for me to do, and I never get paid overtime. The doctor said, I see. And what about your husband and your kids? Oh, my husband and my kids. I get home, and they say, where were you? What's for dinner? Why are you late? So the doctor said, you know, I get this. Don't panic. You don't have a brain tumor. This is stress. And I want you to listen to me. She said, I know this is going to sound strange, but trust me. For the next 10 days, I want you to run 10 miles a day. And then at the end of the 10 days, I want you to call me. The woman thought this was the most bizarre thing she ever heard, but she was pretty desperate. 10 days later, she calls the doctor. She said, "It's a miracle. You've saved my life. I can't believe it. My headaches are gone. I'm sleeping through the night. Thank you so much." And the doctor said, "I knew it." She said, "And how's your job? And how's your family?" The woman said, "Who knows? They're 100 miles away." Now, there's a lot of people, some well-meaning, most not, who are sending women in the wrong direction to deal with their anger. I remember some years ago, I got a call from a primetime morning TV show. They said, "We want to do a show on the mommy wards, and we need somebody who works in a job where she gets childcare support, and she's going to say to somebody, a woman who doesn't have kids, 'You touch my childcare, and I'll scratch your eyes out.'" I said, "Well, we have a lot of women in 9-to-5 who have no childcare support, and they get fired if they have a sick kid, and they're pretty angry. They're not angry at women who don't have kids. They're angry at the big boys who are putting them in a situation." And the TV producer said, "Not interested, looking for the other thing." And sure enough, that's the story they did. Or here, when we were fighting against W-2, what did we get told? Working women were told, "Hey, these women on welfare, they want to suck up your taxes while they just are bad role models for their kids." The problem with that argument was that a lot of working women have themselves or someone they love been on public assistance at some time because of being a good role model for their kids, because they didn't want to leave them home alone when they were sick, or they didn't want to leave them without insurance. And what did we get in W-2? We got a system where you go to work and you get there and they say, "Sorry, there aren't enough guests in this hotel. We don't need you today to clean rooms." Even though you already paid your bus fare, you already paid for childcare, you only got 12 hours of work that week. You go to the W-2 office and they said, "Hey, you're employed. What are you complaining about? You don't get any help." That's what they gave us for trying to make us angry at the wrong people. Or how about immigrants? I went last Mother's Day a year ago with a women's delegation to Phoenix. We get told these immigrants are sucking up your taxes. And who did we meet but women, mothers, who came here because they couldn't support their children otherwise. They pay plenty in taxes, including for Social Security, not one dime of which they will ever see back. I want to talk about Wisconsin and who we're being told to be angry at. But first, I just need to get your opinion on a few other questions. I tried to get Ed to buy those signaling devices, you know, like they have on game shows. But he said we needed the money for organizing or something. So instead, we're going to do this the old-fashioned way. Here's how it works. I'm going to ask you some true or false questions. If you agree that it's true, you're going to raise your left hand. Show me. Left hand. L for likely. Okay? If you disagree, you think it's false, you're going to raise your right hand, R for, "Are you out of your mind?" And please do say, "Are you out of your mind?" Okay, here's the first question. You know, I've been fighting for paid sick days. True or false, the United States has no paid sick leave policy. The United States has no sick leave policy. How many of you think that's true? Actually, shame on you. It is false. The United States has a sick leave policy. This is the United States of America. Everybody has the right to stay home with their sick. You just don't have the right to get paid or keep your job. We have a leave policy. It's called, if you leave, don't come back. But okay, don't worry. You're going to do better on the next questions, okay? Here you go. True or false, people who have paid sick time are more likely to recover quickly, not spread their germs, not use the emergency room because they can go to the doctor. You can say that likely. Okay. How about this one? If you get sick, just save your money and pay yourself for that time that you're going to be off. Businesses that have paid sick days save money in turnover, in higher productivity, in lower absenteeism, and lower health care costs. Likely, you can say, okay? And finally, paid sick days is a job killer. Now, I want to tell you something. I actually believe that paid sick days and job killer go in the same sentence, and I'm going to tell you why. I've been thinking a lot about this. I've been thinking about women like Tori in Milwaukee and Tiffany, both of whom were good mothers and lost a job because one had a child with a mental illness, one with a physical illness, and when the school called and said, we need you to come, they did, and their boss said, you're fired. Or a woman I met who had her jaw wired after her boyfriend beat her up. All she needed were a few days to learn how to drink out of a straw and to get a restraining order so he couldn't do it again. And instead of giving her support, her boss gave her a pink slip. Or Dana, whose father was sick, and the company said, Sarah, you don't get to use time for your father. It's the lack of paid sick days that kills jobs and steals income and harms families, and that's why we're fighting so hard to win it. Scott Walker knows this, and he knew that these women were angry, and he said to them, you're the have-nots, and you should be angry, and you should be angry at the haves. So who did he mean by the haves? Did he mean the people that get corporate, they get tax breaks when they buy a yacht or a corporate jet? Did he mean the CEOs that get $18 million bonuses when they ship our jobs overseas or crush our mortgages? No, he meant public sector workers like teachers and child care providers and home health care workers and snowplow drivers. That's who we were supposed to be mad at. And women like Tori looked around and they said, you know what? A lot of those workers are women, especially women of color. For them, they found a way to make employment be a way out of poverty instead of another form of poverty, and they did it because they organized, and I want what they have. I want it for myself, and I want it for my kids, and I want it for my parents, and I want it for everyone I know. They were like the woman in my favorite movie, Salt of the Earth. Her name is Esperanza. Do you know this movie? It's about Chicano miners in Arizona who were on strike because of the inequality in the way they were treated and the way the Anglo miners were treated. The company gets an injunction against the men, and the women take over the picket line, and they do a great job in their planning strategy and their winning. And there's a scene where Esperanza's husband is about to slap her face, and she says, that would be the old way. What are you looking down on me for? Is it because the Anglo miners get stepped on by the boss, so they step on you, and you feel like you have to step on me? She said, who would I step on? Because there's no one lower than me. But even if there were, I want to rise up, and I want to take everybody up with me. That's what democracy looks like. That's what we're creating in Wisconsin. So I bring you good news, as Matt said, from the movement for paid sick days, because we're winning. You know, what do they call it? When you just win one thing, the right wing, they call it a fluke. And the mainstream media, they say it's a local story. And we say it's the first step. When you win twice, the right wing says, what's going on here? The mainstream media says, call me if it happens again. And we say, we're on our way. But when you win three times, the right wing says, it's a conspiracy. The mainstream media says, it's a trend. And we say, it's a movement. And that's what happened. We just won three times in 3 months. In Connecticut, in Philadelphia, in Seattle, we're going to win soon in Denver, and then in New York and Massachusetts and a whole lot of other places. And here's why we're winning. First of all, have you seen or heard about the movie Contagion? So we made a video. It's called Contagion, Not Just a Movie. You can see it on our website, familyvaluesatwork.org. Please go there and then put it on your websites and Facebook pages. It's five workers who have to go to work sick because they can't afford or aren't allowed to stay home otherwise. That's how germs get spread. That's why we're winning, because every one of those workers is an activist in the cities where their campaigns are. Secondly, we're winning because we have built these very diverse coalitions where you have restaurant owners and restaurant workers and people in the domestic violence movement and the LGBT movement, and people who care about kids and the elders and chronic illness and workers and labor unions, all working together. Third, you know the Chamber of Commerce, what they do? They commit what I call identity theft. They say, I am the business community. Well, we have business owners in every one of our campaigns, and they say, baloney, we are the business community too, and we already offer paid sick days because it's the smart as well as the right thing to do. Don't you dare steal our identity. And we have legislative champions, just like our wonderful Fab 14. We have lots of people all over the country who are willing to champion these issues because they know it's a winning issue. The polls have shown overwhelming support, even with Republicans, the majority support it, certainly the majority of independents. All the underrepresented drop-off low voters, they say this is an issue that would get me to the polls. People are getting that, and they understand it. This is why we're winning. We're also winning because we finally figured out, I think, here in Wisconsin and in this movement, who to be mad at, that it's the Koch brothers and the Wall Street executives, not each other, that we should be fighting. I'm going to tell you something. I care a lot about kindness, and I've seen a whole lot of it in this campaign, in this movement. But you know what else? The Raging Grannies have a great slogan. You can be enraged or you can be outraged as long as you have at least minimum rage. We need to hang on to our minimum rage. This class war is not a war we asked for. It's not a war we started, but it is a war we intend to win, all of us together. Thank you so much for all the work you do. And can I just say one more thing? Toni Schultz's sister, Dana Schultz, a wonderful organizer for 9 to 5, and two other members are here with sign-up sheets for you to sign a petition in support of a national standard for paid sick days. But there's a little box at the end that says, call me. I want to do more. I want to help create a statewide movement for paid sick days. Check that box. Thank you so much.